All right, hello, and welcome back to this week's edition of the OmniTalk Fast Five. It is July 12th, 2019. I am joined, as always, here, of course, on my left by Ann Mazinga.
Hi.
And Carter Jensen.
Hey, guys.
And we have a new addition to the team joining us for the second week now, Neil Thomas.
Hi, everybody.
Now, if you're actually watching this on Facebook, what you'll notice is that we are actually live streaming this for the first time as well. So in addition to our normally weekly recorded podcast, we are live in studio from our new Third House Retail Lab podcast location.
Please be kind.
Yeah, and if I seem distracted, it's because I have like 9 million buttons in front of me. I'm trying to figure this all out. I've only been here for the last 36 hours straight. And you know what? The chances of this working are still 50-50. So here we are.
He's on 6 Red Bulls. He's trying to pull it together. And the reason we're doing this, we're dry running it today. We've got some exciting announcements at the end that we have planned for Monday, which we will tell you about. So please stick around with us. But first, I want to say a couple words about Neil. So some of you are probably like, who the hell is Neil and why is he here?
Hashtag who the hell is Neil.
Hashtag yeah, who the hell is Neil. Well, Neil Thomas is somebody I've known for a long time, worked with him at Target for a number of years. Neil is actually a mentor for me, just like he is for just like Ann and Carter are for me as well. And like them, without him, I said this, I think, in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I wouldn't be here doing what I am today. Neil was a big inspiration for me in terms of trying to get the blog off the ground and doing the writing and all that. And Neil now is actually, as we're trying to stand up the lab, helping us out on the production side for OmniTalk. So Neil has actually been the one responsible, if you've happened to see this in some of our emails or out in social media, Neil has actually been responsible for producing today's Top Talk, which is our newest feature on OmniTalk. Something we've started on social media where every day we're posting the retail industry's top news. Now, some days it might be 3 or 4 stories, guaranteed, never more than 5 because that would go against our reputation. But some days it might not even be anything. It might be 1 or 2. Last week we didn't post anything because quite frankly, nothing met our bar. There's a lot of recaps out there of the top news stories of the day. Quite frankly, they're all the same. We wanted to do something different. We wanted to play on our reputation of honesty, being candid, being frank, and just serving you up because you're busy and you only have so much time that these are the most important stories of the day. If you're interested in seeing that content, be sure to follow our page on LinkedIn. And also, of course, you can subscribe to us at OmniTalk if you haven't already at omnitalk.blog because very shortly we will be adding that content into our emails as well. All right, you guys ready to go? We got some good stories this week in the news.
Yeah, a lot happened since
there is a ton happening, and I would say
with 4th of July and the break.
I was going to say, from a Neil perspective, I love the fact that sometimes we don't even post at all, right? Like at the end of the day, I love the fact that if there's nothing going on, but this is not the case today, a packed full list of things to talk about.
For sure.
Neil loves those days too, because it's, you know, a lot less work.
100%.
It's not me hammering him going, what are we putting out? No, so Zach, yeah, that's actually nice.
Entertain me. That's what Chris Nelson said.
Entertain me. Sound like, what's his name? Robbie Williams.
Let's get to the news.
Yeah, right? Okay. All right, let's start out with the first story. So this was a cool first story that leads the news this week. So I don't know if you saw this, but in the Wall Street Journal, there's a report that now more and more supermarkets are looking to swap cashiers for cameras. That was the title. And essentially what that means is Tesco this week unveiled new plans to go the checkout-free retail route in partnership with Trigo. So they unveiled a new checkout-free technology concept to their investors over in the UK. There's even a quote in the article from yours truly, if you're interested in reading that. But more importantly, the concept is rumored to be about 4,000 square feet, and it deploys roughly 150 mounted cameras in the ceiling. Similar to Amazon Go, you enter the store through you identify yourself as you enter the store through an app or a slash loyalty card, however you want to think about it. And then the plan is for Tesco to roll this new concept out sometime next year. They haven't said exactly when yet, and it reportedly costs 1/10 of what the competitors cost.
I was going to say, so this has been the biggest barrier to entry for a lot of the Amazon Go technology, right? So if you think about it, you know, the amount of sensors and the amount of things that are going on, you know, necessarily like in the store was a huge barrier to entry. It was the moat that Amazon was able to create around some of the technology that they've put into place. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's only 150 cameras, which still is insane, what we have to remember is that's a lot of hardware.
Per 4,000 square feet, yeah.
But I think the whole point was one of the things that, you know, a lot of the haters had if we can use that term, was the fact that you'd never be able to put that much technology in a footprint that was big enough for a supermarket. And hence why the Amazon Go stores are so small. They have tons of technology that, you know, a small footprint would be able to work. So I'd be curious, how accurate is it? How much does it work? Is it as seamless as Amazon Go? And from what you've said, it seems to be the case. So maybe they're onto something.
Yeah, I mean, they're confident enough to show it to investors. I mean, that's a big step, right? Like, you're not going to do that unless you think it's time for that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon Go, they were first to market, but that doesn't make them the best. Clearly, this is more cost effective. They're able to scale in size more quickly. And I think, you know, even the data about Amazon's 3,000 stores by 2021, they're only on track right now to do about 30 stores until 2021, according to recent research, which is disappointing. But I think it also just, it plays to this, you know, there's more people getting into the game. Amazon was first, but it's going to get better, faster, and cheaper because more people, more retailers like Tesco are going to demand it.
Yeah, I think that's the most important point, right? Is that now somebody's publicly saying they're experimenting with this outside of Amazon Go, right? So now the full running list, I think you've got Carrefour over in France working with a French checkout-free, you know, computer vision company. I hope I'm saying this name right. Copious Technology, a French startup, also new on the scene. So you can tell there's a lot of people. And that's the other thing. There's a lot of people in this space. I mean, you've got the Standard Cognitions, the Gerbangos, the
AFI,
Zippins, a lot of whom we've had on our Spotlight series. But it shows you that now somebody else, somebody big, is looking at this and looking at this very hard. So I expect the arms race, so to speak, to start.
To start. Yeah, totally. And Amazon's not the only player in the game.
For sure.
One thing I would add real quick is a lot of people really bang the drum in terms of the expense related to all the cameras. But I think the thing that people forget is maybe 15 years ago is when we first had cell phone cameras. The next gen of cameras, next gen of cell phones are reportedly going to have four cameras on them. So if you think about that in relation to how pricing the technologies is dramatically decreasing over time, if you measure this on a 5 or 10 year scale, it could really be game changing for, for a lot of retail.
That's a great point. I can remember going to like whatever the heck computer store it was back in the day and buying my first digital camera for like, what was it, like $200-$300. And now it's like part of your
like
phone.
$1,000.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. Yeah, absolutely. All right, story number two.
Did it take underwater photos, though? That's the key question.
That is
question.
The real key I question.
Mean, it probably did. I never did because you know my fear of water. Nothing good. What's my saying? Nothing good ever happens in the water.
Yeah, okay. We'll get into that at another point in time. So I have the next story, story number two, and it's a topic that Chris loves talking about.
I feel so vindicated by this whole
There's
by this
inside
story last week.
Conflict at Walmart, everybody. The conflict is mainly around the fact that Walmart's e-commerce losses are said to surpass $1 billion. $1 billion. And again,
we're on TV now, so can we do the thing with the finger?
You can.
Okay,
I'm
I will.
I'll edit this out later. Okay. It's fine. Yeah, go for it.
Again, bear with us. This is the first time Chris has been live in front of a camera, we think. So anyway, back to Walmart. So as we all know, Walmart purchased Jet.com back in late 2016 for $3.3 billion as a way to try to step up their e-commerce game and compete with Amazon. And while the stock price is up and sales are up, they're still projecting these e-commerce losses of close to $1 billion, putting Mark Lore, who they took from Jet.com, who's been in charge of these e-commerce efforts, among other things, under pressure to cut losses as quickly as humanly possible. So one thing that they've speculated is that they're going to start selling off some of the brands that they bought, the D2C brands, ModCloth being kind of number one on that list, to try to recoup some of these losses. And all three of those D2C businesses are still not profitable.
Which three of those? Just
that
specific?
Is Bonobos, Eloqui, and ModCloth.
And ModCloth.
All of which they acquired as part of their larger effort to, you know, instead of being the everything store, to have these these access to D2C exclusive brands to bring in a new audience to the Walmart e-commerce site.
In addition to Hey Neal too, which I think you know, has not been doing well recently either.
Everyone
always forgets that. Hey Needle. What do you think about Hey Needle?
It's like, Hey Needle, do you have like e-commerce site that we should know about?
That's our next business.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Oh. Breaking news number three.
Okay. But my question for all of you, in addition to thoughts, because I know you especially could go on for years about this.
I'm not going to start on this one. No way.
But what would you guys do if you are Mark Lorre, you're in this position, e-commerce sales are down, like, What's your strategy quickly off the top of your heads?
Or if you're Doug McMillan too, what do you do? You know, either one, either or.
There's been a couple of retailers who are winning now in the last 2 years have had to burn cash to try to catch up. And so there's this analogy of, like, if you use Amazon as a standard competitor, which I think is mostly true, right? You realize that over the last 15 years, Amazon's been building this infrastructure to maintain new retail with AWS, with all these like infrastructure investments. And now they're actually turning things on and they're able to build on top of them in ways that, you know, we've never seen before. Well, Walmart comes along and says, oh, we want to do online grocery. We want to do all of these digital DTC, whatever might be. We're like, oh, well, we haven't spent the last 15 years building the foundation to put on top of it. And so ultimately, you're having to burn a ton of money to try to catch up. And even though all that money isn't going towards, let's say, consumer facing goods, it's going through the infrastructure that you've fallen so far behind on in order to actually play at the same level that competitors like Amazon are playing at. And so when I look at loss, like, I think you're going to have loss for a while. And I think ultimately there could be a case to kind of ramp up the loss even a little bit more to say, you know what, in order to stay alive, we're going to have to be in the red here for a couple of years. We're going to need to burn some cash. We're going to need to make some acquisitions. We're going to need to build the rails that this new train's going to go on. Because if we don't do that now, if we try to turn a little bit of a profit this year, 3 years from now, we're going to be in a whole heck of a new situation that we're not even going to be able to get ourselves out of. And I know that's like 50,000 feet from maybe a 10,000 foot issue. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, these retailers who are going to be still successful, you look at Target did the same thing. You're going to burn cash quickly in order to try to build the infrastructure in order for you to keep up with players like Amazon.
So are you, so your interpretation of this is it's kind of overblown?
I wouldn't say it's overblown. I think that it's
to be measured.
It's an issue, but I think where is that money going? Is it actually going to build a stable infrastructure for growth, let's say a year from now? Or is it being burned in places that we think are frivolous and are simply just there to
I think the commentators right now would say that it's being burned in frivolous ways. In the Recode article that broke this story and in partnership with Vox, they talk about how, you know, Walmart only has 20 fulfillment centers to Amazon's 110 fulfillment centers. And Mark Lorre apparently has been trying to push the board to go into building more fulfillment centers so that they can, you know, compete with Amazon is the way, like he said flat out, like, if you want to do better in e-commerce, these are the things you need to do. You need to get more products on e-commerce and you need to build more fulfillment centers. And it sounds like there's a lot of friction from the Walmart board of directors that won't let them get further into the red to build those things. But to your point, like, that might be what it takes.
Well, I think that's a nuance, and that's what matters, especially in today's media. And that's why I pride ourselves on what we try to do, is that there is nuance that matters in the context. I think Carter, and what Ann's saying, I think Carter, your point, in my opinion, your point's exactly right. Like, you have to invest for the future. The question that I would have, and what I've been writing a lot about, is if you actually look at the investments, though, they're not foundational. Buying Bonobos is not a foundational move. Buying ModCloth is not a foundational move. You can grow your assortment online in many different ways than trying to do that. And then the question would be, like, how valuable is that? It is important in e-commerce to have a wide assortment, but you don't need to do it that way. And then you start looking at all the other store number eight initiatives that are so far afield and also running big losses that he's responsible for. Whereas when you start talking about warehouses and fulfillment capabilities, buy online, pick up in store, that stuff's all going to happen anyway without him. And which is what I think the point of the article was making too, is that people are frustrated because they're like, well, no shit, we would have done this anyway, Messiah. Right. What do you want to do?
Right.
And so I think your point's right. But the nuance, in my opinion, matters here, because that's actually not what he's been doing.
Right. We could go on about this. I think there's other industries we could compare it to. There's other retailers we could compare that to.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think they've spent a lot of money on some expensive press releases, as you've said many times before.
So we also come back to, like, okay, the articles have been okay.
I mean, yeah. I would argue that people are still doing that in the advertising industry right now with TV commercials. But let's go on to Neil's story.
You cut close.
All right. Cuts close. That knife cuts deep. All right. Let's go on to story number three. We've talked about Mark Lorre a lot, so let's keep moving forward.
All right, story number three, America's favorite online merchant, Amazon continues its foray and experimentation into physical stores. As permits obtained by Greek Wire indicate, Amazon is looking to open a 10,400 square feet space in the Cap Hill neighborhood in Seattle. Drawings indicate this space would have entry and exit kiosks similar to the typical to a typical Amazon Go location. What makes this interesting is that the total shopping area would be somewhere between 2 to 5x your typical Amazon Go. And secondarily, it would be their first location, if it is an Amazon Go, in a residential area as opposed to a city environment. So very interesting.
So to break that down, Neil, that's 7,000 roughly square feet of actual shoppable space and 3,000 back-of-house.
Back-of-house, break room.
Warehouse, whatever this
mystery
is.
Mystery space, exactly.
Mystery zone.
Yeah, and I think this is the first. This is the tip of the spear into what the future of these Amazon locations are going to be. We always thought like it's going to be this mix of, why buy these huge warehouse spaces in the middle of, you know, suburbia where you need them, right? You know, you need these distribution centers and they're buying them left and right. Why don't you just pay a little bit more money, put it in the right type of neighborhood and make a retail space out of it? And I think that, you know, you're seeing that interesting mix of between warehouse and in-store. They'll be able to fluctuate that based on where they are, what property they buy. I think they're going to do some really smart things to figure out what that looks like.
Yes. And they know what everybody around them, including in the building above the store, are buying every day.
100%.
And what I think going to do is, I think they're going to take Whole Foods 365 concept, all of the like affordable, organic, Trader Joe's competitor style food. They also are able to provide you with all their Prime Pantry, so all the name brands, the Heinz ketchup, the, you know, the mustard, the ranch dressing that you can't get at an organic store. And now, and on top of that, be able to fulfill potentially other Amazon orders in the same space. And there's a liquor store. So you have no reason to go anywhere else. They've consolidated the Target trip. They've consolidated the Trader Joe's trip, the grocery store trip, all into one. It's all organic. Amazon is taking over the
world. That's really interesting. So you're saying, I've never thought about that before. So you're saying like take the Whole Foods private label offerings, put them into these type of retail experiences alongside all the traditional national brands if you still want to do that. So you've got that relatively affordable or natural organic option alongside everything else.
Yeah. On the street level of your building.
Of your building, right? So that it's super easy for you to do.
And you don't ever have to carry cash, and you can just scan in and out.
Just walk in, walk out.
You can walk
in. It's walk-out technology.
You can walk in there and get your Mike's Hard Lemonade and go back upstairs, Chris, and make yourself a nice little snack. It's all in one fun.
It's weird. You just described Chris's lunch break.
I am a cider guy. Let's just remember that.
Cider in the morning.
I think Mike's Hard Lemonade is gluten-free, just in case, if that was the reason. But
it is. That's actually part of it.
Okay. Great. Perfect. Okay. Anyways, story number four. I'll interrupt and save you, Chris, a little bit. All right. So Walmart got a little surprise. After their acquisition of Flipkart, they realized that buried deep down inside, there was a little gift for them. A little known company at the time, pronounced PhonePe. It's PhonePe. P-E. Wow, geez, I had a hard time even spelling that.
Right.
But it means on the phone. It's an Indian-based company. And what's actually happening is Flipkart acquired them, and they were a little startup within the Flipkart enterprise. And they've gotten so big and so successful that they're actually going to spin off, and it looks like they're going to spin off at a valuation of almost $10
billion. That is amazing.
Right? So it's like this little secret gift that, you know, granted they're burning money on the last two stories we've talked about or whatever. But all of a sudden now they accidentally acquired a company that's one of the largest mobile payment systems in India.
Right.
And I think it's funny. So the story of this actually goes, three Flipkart employees spun off and said, you know, we have a better way of doing things, right? And, you know, I'm sure we've all had known friends who've done that. And actually Flipkart looked back a year later and was like, you know what? Actually, what they started is really smart, brought them back in, bought the company out, and now is part of Flipkart. Still really small. Walmart comes along, acquires Flipkart, and then here a couple years later, they were going to be acquired for, rumors have it, up to $10
billion. That's not like finding an extra five spot in your jeans pocket
like
after
finding
$100. Right?
Holy cow. So it'll be interesting. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the growth from this company has been fueled off of really kind of the lower cost cell phone market and really kind of the new era of connectivity within India. And that's led to this explosion of smartphone use. And PhonePe has been able to position themselves perfectly to parallel that, allow allowing customers to transact money between each other and between merchants, really being the go-to for mobile payments within this rapidly expanding marketplace. So good on you, Walmart. You found an extra, you know, couple dollars in your pocket. What are you going to do with it now?
Not invest in fulfillment centers.
Not invest in fulfillment centers.
Buy more brands. Because you can never have enough, right? You need an unlimited assortment in e-commerce. No, it's a question of like, are they lucky or good? Right?
I don't know. I think it's lucky in this scenario.
You know, did you just happen to put the coal in the washing machine and it turned into a diamond at the end of the day? But you know, but I think it does say this though, that like trying to do things, experimenting to some degree, as long as you're smart and there's prudent principles around why you're investing in, which they probably had for Flipkart. If you're doing those things the right way, usually other things can happen by virtue of just luck. And luck sometimes for business matters, but you, what's the saying? You make your own luck. So the fact that they were even thinking about Flipkart put them in the position to at least make their own luck on this situation, which a lot of people, unfortunately, never get the chance to do because they don't take those types of chances.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, and they never would have been in this situation if they weren't acquiring Flipkart, which I mean, you compare to Bonobos, and it's like, Bonobos isn't going to spin off some, you know, granted, I know that's an uneducated comparison, right? But if you think about accurate investments versus, you know, whatever, I think this was probably in maybe a good investment.
Although Andy Dunn's hair is pretty amazing. So there could be some, untapped value there if you really got into it, at least I would find it valuable.
Well, what I think is interesting about that article is that Walmart allowed outside investment in PhonePe. And curious, what immediately came to mind after first looking at the story we just talked about Walmart's losses, could they explore that option for some of the store number 8 initiatives? And if, you know, is there a possibility that Walmart starts to open that up for outside investment?
Well, I think that is their plan. I think that's kind of the $64,000 question.
Well, got a $10 billion reason why.
Well, and does anyone want to invest in those? I think that's the thing we still have to wait and see, which is probably why there's a lot of internal strife. All right, you want to close us up here? Macy's number 5.
You guys, get ready for it.
I can't wait for this. I'm driving there as soon as I get it.
Story at Macy's is now announcing their second set of the experiment and partnership together called Story Outdoor. It's got an exclamation point, so make sure you use that. Thank you. Thank you. I reserve jazz hands for live news feeds.
I like that.
Anyway, the partnership Macy's and Story have had this outdoor concept will roll out at all 36 locations starting now through September. It's a collaboration between Story and Dick's Sporting Goods and Miracle-Gro.
Interesting.
Two unlikely partners.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Rachel Shekman's whole collaboration is the new competition. She helped bring these unique brands in. And admittedly, Macy's, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Miracle-Gro were all like, oh, yeah, that would be weird for us to come together. But they're doing an outdoor-inspired playground, which I'm very excited to see in real life at the non-Herald Square store.
Yes, the PR photos of the grass sofa are pretty amazing.
I want to see what that looks like. It's referred to as a playground, Chris.
Oh, sorry. Is that a playground? It looks like a sofa. All right. Well, I'm curious to see what that looks like in suburban Minnesota.
Yes.
I can't wait to get
so
out there.
So my curated assortment, 40 brands. But this one also, I'm interested to see how they pull this off. They're doing some community-focused event planning that's involved that you can, I don't know if you purchase, like
a lot of
kayaking on the Hudson River is an example, or indoor garden workshops. So apparently that's part of this experience, which we'll see, I guess, how they pull it off. But
I'm just really proud of Story for like getting out of their shell. I think like ultimately the you know, it's like doing something different, right? You know, it's like looking at not some perfect flagship, like looking at getting out of the walls, doing a different partnership. Mm-hmm. I think they're not looking at the typical partnership, like whatever it might be. And I think I'm proud of them for trying something different. Like I think that, you know, Chris, you've done a lot of, you know, you have a video up about Story now on our YouTube channel. And
article
I think
coming soon too.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've done a lot of thought around Story, and I think that it's a next chapter. It's a next thing that they can do. Now, if they fail, they might fail. Like it might be the worst, but at the end of the day, I think I have to give them credit for at least trying something new.
Yeah, one thing to add for our Minnesota listeners, if you go to the Macy's at Ridgedale, you can view it yourself and let us know what you think.
That part with Carter, what you said, that's interesting to me too, because I actually don't think, I really want to see it, and I'm trying to be as open-minded as possible about this. I really, really am. The outdoor story in the summer, not new, not novel. Like, what else are you going to do? Like, I'm kind of like, really? That's what you did? Okay, you got some cool partners to come with you. That's cool. Like, I would not have thought Dix and Miracle-Gro would go together.
Are they cool partners?
Yeah, and are they cool partners? So I think we have to see it. But, I mean, there's some things I like about it. It sounds like the Dix assortment is all Dix private label. So it's stuff unique to Dix.
Mm-hmm.
We use DSG.
Yeah.
Is the best way to put it.
It's unique to DSG. Probably a much better way. This is live.
Now we have an mature rating for this
podcast. We're going to have to put like a mature rating on this. Yeah. But anyway, like, that's good. So you can't, like, come in and showroom it for Amazon, basically, which you could do in their last assortment for sure. And I'm curious how much of that's going on now. And then with Miracle-Gro, like, I mean, that's interesting. They're at least playing on subversively, like, the pot-growing trend, right? Like, this is, like, it's basically, like, if you read about it,
I don't think,
like,
that's in the PR statement.
But it's like, no, they're not saying that, but it's basically, like, how do you grow things in your home? That's basically what it's talking about. And so I think
I don't know if that's accurate.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. Not at all.
I'm fighting this because, wait, oh my God. Oh, man.
Indoor planting?
We'll
is
be
that
able
what
to purchase a range of live plants to highlight spots in their home.
You don't.
I mean, people just put plants in their home.
Yeah, highlighting
that
their
are
newly,
not
oh, this is
cannabis.
They are highlighting their newly launched Miracle-Gro 12 indoor growing system. Like, come on. What's that for?
For indoor plants.
All right. Indoor plants. All right. Wow.
Succulents are really hot right now.
That just made this really less cool. I was trying to think this was cool, but this is just really, really, really less cool. So I don't know. I'm skeptical as
hell. We got to go see it.
Yeah, we'll go see it.
We'll provide an update.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. But the other part, too, is like the events. It's interesting how much in their PR they're talking about events. And when we visited the store in Ridgedale, the woman that was working there said the events were what was drawing people. It sounded like it wasn't actually the
product. Well, what else is going to draw people to the mall in the middle of, you know, in the middle of June?
Right. Apparently, it's not the products on display.
Hydroponic plant indoor growing system.
Yeah, for
Carter.
Your plants, as Chris would say.
For your herbs.
Yeah, herbs.
But what's really hard to scale? Events.
So hard.
So hard to scale. So, like, if that's where they're leaning in, that is a little bit of another worry for me. So. All right.
Unless you hire on-site people in those communities, but whatever.
Right. Details.
Yeah, that's a lot of coordination. All right, well, that wraps us up. Thanks for sticking with us today. It was fun. We tried something new. We did a little bit of a live stream there, the traditional podcast as well. Did it all in one go. No safety net. Felt a little bit different, but it was fun. A couple of other housekeeping announcements. There's a cool post on Forbes this week. Just put it out. It talks about what Amazon could eventually do with Prime Day over the long run. We've talked in the past about how Amazon could potentially do Prime Day preemptively in November, but now we ask the question, what if Prime Day came every month? So please check it out. Also, to this whole point about live streaming and all that, this Monday for Prime Day, in celebration of our now, I think, favorite holiday of the retail year, we will be live streaming from Third House, from our podcast studio on Facebook. So stop in if you're in town, watch us from your desk. Just go to our OmniTalk Facebook page. You can check us out. We'll be live streaming between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. on Monday morning, talking about whatever the heck it is we can find to talk about in regards to Prime Day.
We'll be podcasting live from our retail networking and lab space in Minneapolis. That's Third House, thirdhouse.com. That's H-A-U-S. Check us out. And we will see you on Monday.
Yeah, and more to come on that website very soon. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast if you get the chance. Please, if you haven't already, take the time, write a review. It means a lot to us. Every little difference makes a difference, and it helps us shoot up that leaderboard from a podcasting perspective.
What would you rather see Chris wearing in the next live stream? Maybe that's what
yeah, that's a good rating. With. That should be good.
Send us that feedback. Text us live stream, too. We're happy to take your questions while we're going on Monday, but we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. On behalf of Ann, Neil, Carter, and myself, be careful out there.